Welcome to The Courage Effect. I'm Suzanne Weller, and this is a show about growth and unleashing what's possible. You'll hear inspiring stories about what courage looks like, how we navigate what's getting in our way, and the opportunities that surface when we choose courage over comfort. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. It's Suzanne. I'm so thrilled to have you listening today to The Courage Effect. The conversation that we're going to have today, it's a solo show. Topic that we're going to be covering today is creativity and overthinking. I've been reading Rick Rubin's book, The Creative Act, A Way of Being, which is highly recommended, really fantastic. And it's making me think about all of the different ways in which we are creative in our lives. And one of the core facets in the larger work that I do around leadership development at my company, Weller Collaboration, and one of the core things for me as a human being is I am very passionate about how do we create the environment, how do we create the conditions for us to be able to foster amazing things, fostering change when we want to see something happen differently in our lives, fostering growth for the people that are in our orbit or ourselves, or just, you know, creating conditions for great things to happen. Those conditions start with us. One of my favorite Peter Drucker quotes is, you know, as a leader, your first act is to orchestrate your own energy before you can orchestrate the energy of those around you. So when we think about how do we start with ourselves in that moment of creativity, opening up to what is possible and unleashing that, then we're able to create work. We're able to influence other people. We're able to then have different behaviors, but it all starts with us and that energy. And so much of that energy comes from our thinking, our thought patterns. So we fall into overthinking quite consistently. I mean, I was joking with a friend last week, you know, we should start Overthinkers Anonymous and we would be some pretty regular members in that club. And maybe you would be sitting right there along with us. But how do we potentially look at our thoughts as our thoughts and use them in a creative way to unleash something different? How do we recognize when we fall into patterns of overthinking or overanalyzing? How are we distorting the world around us based on our thoughts? And how is that keeping us from being creative? So I'd love to talk about this today, really starting with the idea of creativity overall. How do we potentially spend more time and respecting the process of actually creating things? And how do we then talk about self-doubt? Because that's also a big part of where overthinking comes in, and moving beyond those patterns, those thought patterns that potentially get us into a dangerous situation. I do believe that us taking the time to really reflect on our thinking and to really, you know, to embrace our creativity takes courage. It takes a lot for us to be vulnerable and to expose ourselves in the world, our ideas, our art, our work. So just the creative act is courageous. I would love to use this time for us to have a little bit more of a discussion, I guess a discussion with myself and a discussion with all of you on what are the things that are getting in the way of us being courageous and being creative as a result. So, as I said, Rick Rubin's book, The Creative Act, there's so much greatness in this book. He really talks about how as artists and, you know, when we're in that creative mode, and when he talks about creative acts, it's not just when you're creating a painting or a musical piece. Creativity can manifest in all different ways in our lives. He talks about all art, regardless of what we are creating, being a work in progress. And it's really helpful to see what we are working on as an experiment. This is one of the core tenets that I believe in. We as human beings are all a work in progress. We are showing up every day, doing our best. And how do we potentially give ourselves the grace to know that, okay, I'm flawed. I'm going to make errors, and other people are going to be doing the same. So if we approach life overall, and if we approach our choices, if we approach our behaviors as an experiment, we get less detached from the outcome because we know that we can't predict it. We are going to hopefully create the best conditions for what outcomes we want to achieve. Whatever the result, we will get useful information from the experiment and from the experience at the same time. So this is where we learn. This is where we find out new things about ourselves. This is where we find out more about other people at the same time. And it allows us to be more compassionate, as I said before, and it allows us to look at it as an opportunity to play, to engage, to really discover, as opposed to winning or maybe being right. It's much more joyous. It's much more playful and fun. It gives us the opportunity to really and truly be creative and not so hell-bent on what the results are going to be. When we trust that process, that is when the magic can happen. When we give ourselves an opportunity to show up deliberately and play, to experiment, that is when we are reframing just even the context of what showing up is. We are unhooking from the expectations. We are allowing the magic to happen. We are surfacing what might be. That I love so much because it's the idea of opening up to who knows what. It's also terrifying. I understand that and I get that. But I wonder sometimes, and when I get really wrapped up and upset about things, it's because I get so hooked on the outcome. What am I going to create? How is it going to be received? How will I be seen as a result of that? When we're creating something, it's important to think of it as separate from ourselves. Self-doubt comes in where we are then reframing that doubt, not about the work and the quality of the work, but about ourselves and our ability to create that work. So how do we potentially decouple the product from us? How do we look at it as something outside of ourselves that, yes, we've created, and obviously it's really hard when we're very passionate about it, but if we step away and if we look at it from the outside, we're able to have a little bit more discernment. We're able to have more perspective. And it's also healthy because we don't end up turning the lens on ourselves consistently and thinking, what can I do better? What can I do differently? This is where the pattern of that self-doubt can come in. And a lot of that is where the overthinking can come in. So with overthinking, it's the continuous process of really draining and analyzing past usefulness. It's when we get caught in that loop where it's full of doubts, potentially assumptions, where we're focusing on minor, often irrelevant or non-productive details. So that, just me saying that, I just, you know, it makes me think of that's the enemy of creativity. It's making us so self-conscious and so overly aware of all of the different possibilities. It does not allow us to be in the moment and to really and truly see what's going to bubble up. And this is not to say that thinking overall is bad. It's not to say that reflecting or planning is bad, but how do we potentially know when we're actually reflecting on something and asking valid questions to be able to learn and grow from an experience versus when we are tipping into ruminating or overthinking, which is when it tends to be unhelpful. Having some idea of the signs of when you're getting into overthinking and understanding your patterns can be helpful. We'll talk about that in the second half of today's show and how you can potentially unhook from that pattern. But knowing what your patterns are is the first step. And understanding that we all do it. We all fall into these patterns. And they're, you know, thoughts are one of the most powerful things. They can change the world because they change our actions and the conditions that we create for what happens, what transpires. But at the same time, it can be to our detriment because we can get stuck in those loops of ruminating, of overthinking, and not moving into action. So understanding your patterns is the first step, as I said. It's also understanding our humanity. It's understanding that our thoughts are something that can potentially be working for us or maybe against us. And having a better idea of where you want to be, what are the thoughts that are potentially holding you back? Creating a reflection practice is incredibly helpful. I try to do a little bit of this at least every day with journaling. We know that we are able to live more intentionally and actually follow through on things if we live with reflection and with mindfulness. Let's not pull ourselves down through overthinking. Let's create the conditions for creativity, for beauty, and for success, and in whatever way we deem success to look like. Because we live in an uncertain world. We live in a place where we don't necessarily know what's going to happen next, which makes us really anxious, and we want to be able to control it. What we can control are the conditions that we are creating in this time of uncertainty, how we are responding to what's happening around us. That is the most powerful thing, that choice, the moment where we make a decision to not just go into autopilot or be beholden or reactive to something that's happening to us, to better understand it and to be, kind to ourselves. It's okay if I don't react in the way that I want to. And understanding that this is how we're responding to a situation, but I have some choice. Choice is where the power lies. And that is the same for overthinking. It doesn't mean that you won't fall into the pattern, but the power happens when you recognize it and you're able to put something in place to get out of that loop. So, creativity, as we talked about, I want to give a quick recap of what we've spoken about before we break. Creativity is really about opening up to possibility and creating the conditions for ideas and art, whatever art may look like, for you to be able to manifest in the world or to support others to be able to manifest it. Understanding that thoughts and self-doubt and all of these overthinking patterns are not to be, they're not surprising. But if we are seeing them as non-productive and if they're really holding us back from being creative and we're just consistently reacting to what's happening in our world, that is not where we're actually going to see possibility, where we're not going to be innovating and we're probably going to feel like we're stuck and we're stagnant and we're not moving forward. In the second half, let's come back. We'll talk a little bit more about some of the patterns, knowing your patterns, where you might get stuck in that overthinking process, and how you can potentially break that overthinking loop. This is Suzanne. You're listening to The Courage Effect. We'll be right back. Courage takes on many forms. I know from personal experience that one of the most courageous things we can do is to recognize when we need help and seek out support. If you're going through a hard time, feeling like something is interfering with your happiness or the ability to achieve your goals, therapy can give you tools to approach your life in a very different way. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and accessible. It's an online platform where you can be matched with a professional therapist in as little as a few days. For more information and to get matched with a therapist, go to BetterHelp, that's HELP.com/courage. Visiting this link both supports this show and gets you 10% off your first month of BetterHelp. So if you're struggling, consider online therapy with BetterHelp.
Easy on the ears, good for the soul. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to The Courage Effect. This is Suzanne. The conversation that we are having today is about creativity, which I was really inspired by Rick Rubin's recent book called The Creative Act, and how overthinking can potentially be getting in the way of us being creative. And not just being creative as far as, creating art, but art as the larger, creativity in the world. However you define art, your work, your relationships, how might your self-doubt, overthinking, striving for perfectionism, all of these things be getting in the way of you creating what you want to within your life? So we talked about creativity and what can potentially get in the way of it. Let's talk about overthinking and why we tend to do it. It's important to know what the root cause is so that you can start having a better idea of how to unravel from the habit. The first root cause is perfectionism. We've talked about perfectionism on the show, which is something that I personally have struggled with. And it really is when we set standards for ourselves that are out of reach. They're unrealistic. So as a result, we second guess ourselves and we criticize ourselves for even the smallest errors. The second root cause is our desire for control. When we scrutinize situations endlessly, we're ultimately hoping to influence the outcome. And unfortunately, this is usually an illusion because when we're sitting in uncertainty, our minds kick into overdrive, triggering overthinking as we attempt to regain control by mapping out every possible scenario. The third root cause is our past experiences. If we were raised in high-pressure surroundings, overthinking is a persistent coping mechanism where we become hypervigilant, where we are seeking safety and protection. And the fourth root cause is low self-esteem. It's when we're doubting our abilities and our self-worth. This can fuel us to replay events in search of possible blunders and to blow them up into something much larger than they actually were. And because we live in a society where success is glorified, failure is often seen as a defeat. So a fear of failure can lead us to overanalyze every decision, every step, and again, every possible outcome. How do we potentially minimize and transform overthinking? How do we break free of its cycle? The first step is becoming aware of when we're doing it, and that means tracking our patterns. You can keep a thought log. I do this. I have it actually in an app on my phone. I have it on OneNote. You can write down when you recognize that you're falling into these dialogues in your head and make note of what was being said. Once you start tracking it, you have an idea of how often it's happening, and you can also start to recognize the thought distortions and maybe the triggers that are leading you into overthinking. So, what are we talking about when we say thought distortions? Some of the most common ones when we're creating stories in our head are catastrophizing. This is where we exaggerate minor issues. And an example of this is, let's say that you're late to a meeting and then you're afraid that you're going to be losing your job as a result. Next, there's mind reading. This is when we're assuming negative judgments from others. Perfect example of this is if somebody texts you and you don't hear back from them in the time that you were hoping to, and then you start to presume that they are mad or upset. It could be black and white thinking, where it's either or, there's nothing in the middle, no shades of gray. When might you be falling into one of those polarities and not seeing various shades of difference? Personalization, when you blame yourself for external events, like if a group project fails, you automatically point the finger at yourself. Or a negativity bias can take over, where you are filtering out the good stuff and you're potentially minimizing accomplishments, and by way of that, making them seem insignificant. And a good way to be able to spot some of these is if you're using shoulds. So that gives you an idea of when you're actually putting some criticism onto yourself and you're creating some rigid behavioral standards. And it's when we start practicing or recognizing some of these, then we can sit down, we can take a moment to better understand, this is the story I'm telling. What do I know is real? What are the facts? What's the hard data that I'm observing? Where am I bringing evaluation into this? Where are my emotions coming in? Where am I putting some sort of judgment? And this will help you to unpack what is the thought distortion and get a better idea of what is motivating those thoughts in your head. One of my favorite practices to do that is something that I call containering. This is something that I actually just did a couple of nights ago when I was overthinking. I woke up in the middle of the night, couldn't go back to sleep. Containering is when you give yourself a finite period of time to work through your overthinking, work through the thought. So when this happened to me the other night, I did get out of bed and I opened up a journal and I started writing. And before I did, I set a timer. I gave myself 20 minutes to just write whatever came out onto the piece of paper. And I start off with three questions, or I have three questions that help me to have some structure around this process. The first is what? What is the thought? Just put it down so I have a good idea of what I really am thinking about. Then my next is so what? Why does this matter? Is this something that I am putting different emotions into? Is it something that hurt me? Is there a feeling? Is there a fear? Is there something else that's driving it? But why does it matter to me right now? And finally, now what? What am I going to do about it? Or what am I not going to do about it? And I make sure that at the end of my containering process, I have a now what? What am I going to do? This gives me some closure. It allows me to loosen my grip on the thinking and to unpack it and to know that when I'm closing that book, or maybe when I'm closing my laptop at the end of my containering period, that I have a plan for what is next, or I know that it's something that I am going to let go of, or at least loosen my grip on. I love a 20-minute period. Maybe you need more. I actually love scheduling my containering. I have a time on my calendar, Friday afternoons, where if there are thoughts that come up during the week, if I find myself overthinking, okay, this is something that deserves some attention, but it's not for now. So it gives me the opportunity to recognize these are some thoughts that I need to spend some time on. And I love that it's on my calendar and that I'm able to give it that airtime when it comes up later that week, but just not now. It won't distract me from being in the headspace that I need to be in, from being present, and hopefully to create the conditions to create great work. Another good technique is self-compassion. A good dose of this is a way to really take care of yourself, to provide mental wellness and mental fitness. Because we know that research has proven that self-criticism is a self-defeating tendency, particularly when we are feeling not so great about ourselves, when we're not performing at our best. On the flip side of that, self-compassion is actually the secret to resilience. It is when we are able to tap into our strength in the face of failure and our ability to learn from mistakes. We, in turn, are able to bounce back with greater enthusiasm. We can do it more quickly. So we're ready for the next time that we make a mistake or we're not necessarily feeling our best. Self-compassion is a wonderful thing. I know a lot of people think that it is woo-woo, but it really does matter when you look at what the research is telling us. How do we get more comfortable with failures, with mistakes, with knowing I'm going to think about this, but I'm not going to ruminate and beat myself up about it? And finally, I would definitely recommend seeking support from others. Do you have people in your circle that are trusted friends, colleagues, family members to vet your stories, to just talk about, are you making up a story? Is this something in your head that is real or based on actual events? Or where are you potentially putting some sort of sheen over your lens? How can you be looking at this from a different perspective? Asking somebody to challenge your thinking or to reinforce where you're coming from. It's also a really great way to be vulnerable, to build trust with other people, and to potentially offer the same to them. So this might be somebody that's an accountability partner. It might be somebody that was in a meeting with you when, if you're spinning out on something that was said. Having a trusted network, having people to be able to support you is vital. And ultimately, so many of these practices allow us to get more comfortable with uncertainty. Adaptability, we know this is one of the most vital skills that we have in our toolkit, and we need to embrace it at every corner that we can because the speed of change is happening so quickly. We don't know what is coming down the pike. So here is one way that we can start to get more comfortable with uncertainty, is to identify a situation in our life where we don't feel certain, we don't feel confident. Maybe we're trying to predict every possible outcome. Rather than overthinking it to death, how might we let it unfold naturally? I recommend doing this with something that is lower stakes. So, okay, well, maybe if I don't do that this week, let's see what happens. It can really open you up to where you want to be spending your time what's worth your time and your energy versus what's not. And for you to be able to unhook from the responsibilities that you might be putting on yourself or the standards that might be too high that aren't necessarily serving you, that are keeping you from being creative and not allowing you to surface discoveries and possibility. So that is today's show. I really realize how important creativity is in my overall world. And I really want to say a big thank you to Rick Rubin for the book, The Creative Act. It is beautiful. It is a great reminder of how creativity can change our lives and our world. And if we're feeling stagnant or stuck, what are the things we might be able to do to decalcify a little bit and to potentially stop overthinking? Let's see overthinking for what it is, as opposed to just assuming it's a part of our lives. Thanks for being here. I hope that you enjoyed the show. If you have feedback, please reach out, thecourageeffect.com. You can also listen to this again on podcast to your heart's desire. So share, like, I would love to hear your thoughts. Take care, everybody. Stay courageous.